shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
I am not a racist individual, but I will tell you, depicting a black guy in the middle of that mural.
Most of you in this business.
Yeah.
Boy, here I go.
I think those remarks were offensive and reprehensible.
I just want to say, I've never heard the word used so many times.
You
blow it!
World-famous Phil Henry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what in the hell it's talking about. And where truth is our bitch, even if we got to go through the looking glass, which we do every night here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. More with Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. With a lawsuit that is I think, wrong-headed, and we've been talking with Mr. Bozell about this lawsuit against a private swim club, a private swim and tennis club, suing them for not providing him with a proper kind of bathing suit to engage in a 50-meter race in, one that they didn't know he was going to be in, because the one he was wearing came off, and so in order to emphasize that point, that he wasn't wearing the right suit, he walked out of the pool naked in front of women, children, and general, in a general atmosphere of frivolity and fun that the Memorial Weekend provides. And that's when it happened. So we're going to be talking with him in just a minute or so. And then we have As You Like to Hear Them tonight. Helen Thomas and Sandra Bullock will be with us on As You Like to Hear Them. 877-876-PHIL. And I think that, Mr. Bozell, I have adequately described the situation. Forgive me if I sound, a little bit biased there.
But
you gotta agree, sir.
No, I don't have to agree. You put it in a way that I think. First of all, you did not say. I didn't drive a point home. I said it was to say to Mr. Hutchins, look what you've done to me.
And you're saying that he did to you the fact that you had your suit tangled around your knees, and so you needed to come out of the pool and show that to him and to his wife and to your daughter and to your wife and to everybody else's daughters and wives around the pool.
I was not thinking about everyone else's daughters and wives. I was only thinking about him and his daughter and wife. And I didn't do it, though. He did.
By challenging you to a 50-meter race knowing your suit was going to come off.
As well as the club not providing the right suit. Yes, sir. And this is very unfortunate that in a democracy like America where you're not allowed to say and speak your mind about how you've been wronged and how you've been victimized in a society that's increasingly dehumanized and does not. I feel very, wrong that I can't say what I want to say.
I think you've said what you want to say, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get to a phone call here. We have Jenny in Buffalo, New York. Jenny, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. I'm going to make this short.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, we're right here.
All right. I'm sorry about that. My cell's cutting out a little bit. What I wanted to say was...
I know how that goes. My cell phone's always breaking up.
Okay. I'd like Mr. Bozell to maybe get a sense of perspective about this. I mean, everyone I think who's ever been swimming has had a mishap with a bathing suit falling off unexpectedly. That's not rare at all.
The way you say that, it sounds like you probably have had that experience too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who hasn't? Who hasn't taken a jump off the high dive and found themselves without the suit? I mean, it happens. And, yeah, it's embarrassing to have people point and laugh and so forth, but don't forget about it. It's not a big deal.
Well, I'm sure in your case, Miss, I'm sure they didn't point and laugh. I'm sure they went,
I was when I was in junior high school. So, I mean, I was pretty embarrassed about it, but...
Let's remember, she was a junior high school. She was a little girl at the time, Mr. Bozell. We don't have to get lascivious.
I'm not being lascivious. I'm just saying.
I don't think he's being lascivious, but, I mean.
All I said, I bet you had a nice butt.
Hold on for a minute. You don't talk about a little girl having a nice butt. You understand?
Excuse me, Mr. Anthony?
You don't talk about a little girl having a nice butt.
She's laughing. She doesn't care.
I care. I'm the host of the show. I care. Go ahead. Sorry, Jenny.
Anyway, what I mean is...
You're the guy walking around nude, man. Not me.
This is something that happens to everyone. It is very embarrassing, and I can understand that you're hurt, Mr. Bozell, but I mean, think about it this way. If you go ahead with this lawsuit, you're going to be on every internet news aggregator from coast to coast. You're going to be on talk shows. You already are. And people will call, and they'll laugh at you, and you're just digging a deeper and deeper hole.
I have already spoken to my attorney about one such gentleman. If you're familiar with G. Gordon Liddy, this man read a list of recent actions that I'd taken with my attorney on his show. He laughed, and he laughed again, and he thought it was funny. We'll deal with Mr. Liddy.
Are you talking about G. Gordon Liddy, the host, the talk show host?
That is correct. For him to laugh at me because my pants came off, he can do that if he wants. But I was making a point to all the women that were there.
You were making a point to all the women that were there.
What?
That Roy Hutchins put...
Mr. Hutchins is the one that caused my pants to go down, is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, okay, look at Jenny. Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing I wanted to say. I mean, given your recent revelations, I'm not certain how much
your pants are coming off
anymore. But if you really want to be a good role model for your daughter, what I would worry about is not trying to get revenge for a petty incident that everyone's going to forget in a couple of weeks anyway. I'd think of rolling with the punches. I'd think of learning to laugh at yourself, about bearing these things maturely. Those are the kind of things that make good impressions on people, young and old. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
I will say that you sound like a young lady who's got a smile in her voice. You sound like you go through life maybe just trying to get along, and I appreciate that attitude very, very much. That's how I am. But, boy, I'll tell you what, if a man conspires to have my pants come off, then I've got to stand up to it.
When a man conspires to have your pants come...
What are you laughing at?
I just think that's one for the ages. When a man conspires to have my pants come off, I got to stand up to that.
Okay, all right. You know what, Mr. Hendry? I said to that last...
What, you want me to go to hell too, Mr. Bozell? Because that's all you've been saying today. Jenny, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Ellie in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening to us on KTRC. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, how are you?
You're
very good.
Your laughter, Mr. Hendry.
Well, sir, that was the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. Go ahead.
The fact that he believes that somebody conspired for his swim trunks to come off is... It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. Like, how is he not responsible?
How long have you been alive? How long have you been alive?
54 years.
54? You sound like you're 16.
Well, thank you.
This is a lady. Did you think it was a man?
I thought it was a man.
No, it's Ellie is a woman.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead, Ellie.
You know, I think that any time we go to a public pool or even a private pool, we're responsible for our attire, for the fact that our bathing suits fit properly when we're in the water and when we're not. And
if I come to you, Ellie, and I say, let's have a 50-meter race, and we start racing, and I stop to see if your suit comes off, and sure enough it does, and I point and I laugh and I keep on swimming and I win, wouldn't you want to come out of the pool naked?
Absolutely not. Suit back on.
That doesn't make any sense.
Why doesn't that make sense?
You wouldn't want to take revenge on me.
Absolutely not. And before I raced, I would make sure that my trunks were tied.
Wait a minute, trunks. Are you a woman or are you a man?
I'm a woman.
What trunks?
Your trunks, your swim trunks.
Yeah, but women don't
have a little
trunks,
tie on the front of them to make sure they're tied around your waist so they don't come down to your knees.
Yeah, but women don't wear trunks. Women wear like they wear a bottom.
She's talking about you, man.
Oh, I'm not talking about me.
Talking about you.
Oh, okay. I did tie him.
When I go to a public pool or a private pool, I make sure that my bathing suit fits properly.
All right. But if it didn't, if for whatever reason it come peeling off, and I was to blame, wouldn't you get out of the water and say, look, I'm nude, you did it to me?
Absolutely not. I'd stay in the water and get it back on. And the fact that you that you're wasting the time of a lawyer, a judge, and the entire judicial system is completely ridiculous.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am, not at all. Because if you said to me, hey, Steve, I'm Ellie, let's race, and you start laughing at me when my pants came off, I would have to stand up for myself and get out of the pool with, you know, everything hanging there and say, okay, take a look, because it's what you made happen. Now, that is my right.
Look, it's what you made happen by not having a properly clean bathing suit.
Yeah, but also you laughed at me.
Okay, you know, this is ridiculous.
You said your wife laughed at you. Are you going to sue your wife?
Yeah.
You're going to defend your wife?
I have in the past, and I will, yes.
You've sued your wife?
Oh, yeah. I sued my wife. I've sued my own daughter. I sued I sued a friend of mine, and I sued his pet, because I was told you could sue an animal. I did that. I've sued my mother-in-law. I sued my own father.
Will you get out of here with who you sue? Anyway, Ellie, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Bill Hendry Show.
Well, I don't know what the what you guys at the FCC are doing tonight. I don't know whether you have been playing poker. I don't know whether you visited the brothel. I don't know whether you guys are having dinner with your favorite broadcasters and you're getting your envelopes full of money. I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't even know what you guys in the FCC do for a living, to be perfectly honest with you. Although I'm sure that if you wanted to prove a point, you could probably slap a fine on me for nothing, for doing nothing. That's what you really should be doing more often of, really. You should be fining people for not doing anything instead of fining them for doing something. The FCC would do far better if they just fined radio shows that didn't do jack squat, just sat there like a lump of turd, night after night, wasting electricity, taking up space on the airwaves. That's what you guys ought to do. You ought to fine them. Now, the reason why I'm asking this question is because MTV's Movie Awards last night aired, and all kinds of F-bombs are dropping, and MTV is ready with their excuse, and that's fine. You know what? I got to admire MTV because they stand up for their programs, they stand up for their shows, and they go to bat against anybody that would say, you can't do this. Now, in television, that's what they do. CBS did it. I think, was it CBS that had the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction? I think it was. The Super Bowl a few years back, it was Janet Jackson, her boob came flying out. And when I say flying, I'm using that in a very, very euphemistic way. It more like it just kind of plopped out or sagged out, you know?
Yeah, more like it just dropped out.
Yeah, it dropped.
It dropped. Anyway, CBS said, no, that was a wardrobe malfunction. In other words, they came to bat for their people. And MTV's doing the same thing. Now, this is the blatant use of the F word, the blatant use of a word that we're told in radio at the point of a gun. Seriously, at the point of a gun. You know, it's almost at the point of a gun. We're told in radio, if you ever use that word, you're fired. There's not a broadcaster in radio in the world that's not going to fire some guy for using that word. Unless, of course, the talent that's using the word is like the ex-drummer of the Sex Pistols who's got a radio show here in L.A. who drops that word all the time. And because he's some dumb limey that doesn't know anything about American broadcast standards, he gets to use that word and everything's chill. The rest of us, though, we get fired. See, this is the mentality, I'm telling you. So MTV has got the F word flying. And they stood up for their people. They released a statement saying the MTV Movie Awards is a live televised event known for irreverent comedy and a party atmosphere where our guests speak more freely than they otherwise might. While we aired the live broadcast with a delay, we were unable to mute every word that some might find objectionable. All these words will be muted in subsequent airings. Basically, what they're saying is too bad. You don't like it? That's tough. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, FCC? Why don't you go find radio guys? Because, frankly, that's who you have far more success finding and basically pushing around and bullying. Because in the radio world, the broadcasters don't stand up for their talent. In the radio world, the broadcasters let their talent go up in flames. In the radio world, the broadcasters would much rather hold on to their license and much rather hold on to their ability to go back to Washington every now and again and shove something in the envelope or the G-string of their favorite FCC commissioner than actually stand up for the people that work for them. So only in radio do they basically, you know, sell out the very people who work for them. In television, they go to bat for the people that are on the air. So here's what happened on MTV last night, the MTV Movie Awards.
I just want to say, I've never heard the word used so many times in one evening. So I'll say that this is pretty cool. Thank you to Pitt. Thank you to Rosenberg. Thank you to Chris Weitz, our fabulous director. Who am I missing? Go, Stephanie Meyer. Without you, this world would not be, we wouldn't even be here. I'm not going to curse with you because you're Mormon. Who am I forgetting?
You said that again. That's good. That's good.
Okay. Thank you to the fans. We're overwhelmed by your continuous support. We love you right back. Go see us June 30th. Thank you.
So that was Peter Facinelli. He's last night at the MTV Music Awards. He's the star of the film Twilight. And all of that was not censored by MTV. Because they couldn't, and they were right. You can't dump every one of these words because there's such a thing as a delay, and it's you have so many seconds to catch the word. But the fact is, you know, MTV said, this is what we do, and you can stick it, you know, up deep left because we, you know, tough, right? Now, some people think that MTV is not up for, you know, that MTV or, for instance, TNT or TBS, they can do that because they're on cable. No, that is not true because basic cable is still... it is not a pay channel, okay? It's not a subscriber-controlled channel. It is still considered to be an over-the-air offering by the FCC, and so technically is restricted by the FCC in terms of language, except the FCC doesn't have anything in writing about what they expect when it comes to language. Now, I would be challenging these standards, too, and I think everybody on radio would, if we felt that our employers would go to bat for us the way MTV's goes to bat for their people. But that's television. That ain't radio. Radio is full of some of the most gutless broadcasters the world has ever seen. This is true. I mean, there's not anybody working in this industry on air that will disagree with that. Not a one. If the F-bomb got dropped like this on any radio station in America, any radio network in America, there'd be hell to pay. The talent would be out the door within the hour. But in television, they challenge these restrictions when it comes to speech because they know that they work for people that are going to back them up. And in this case, MTV released a statement saying, hey, you know what? We're sorry. It happens. You don't like it. Try some other, you know, try doing something else for the for a living. Now, you know, if the FCC had any real enforcement power, which they don't, television would be afraid of them. But television knows, number one, they have enough money and they have enough in terms of legal support and legal representation. They could challenge the FCC. They could dismantle the FCC. They could turn the FCC into a car wash. That's television. Radio, on the other hand, doesn't have that kind of chutzpah. Radio's got plenty of money, but they haven't got near the balls to take on the Federal Communications Commission constitutionally. And so what do we have? And why is the story significant to me? And why am I even talking about it this way? Because to me, I look at this, I say, look at it. Television has much more freedom when it comes to speech. And the reason is the artists in TV, they kind of know that they've got a little more leeway and they got and people have their back in television, you know, the people you work for. In radio, it's a completely different environment. It's like you're working in a sweatshop. And seriously, it's like you're working in a sweatshop and all the doors are bolted shut and there's no air conditioning. And if a fire breaks out, you got to bust the window out and leap to your death.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's, you know, you're being figurative. But that's kind of the way it is in this industry. And so You're never, ever going to see this happen in radio until, as I've often said, never going to see anything like this happen in radio until we get a generation of broadcasters in here that actually like the medium, know what it's about, and actually like the people engaged in the art of broadcasting. Now, coming up, we have Sandra Bullock and Helen Thomas next, As You Like to Hear Them. Special live interviews, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Time now for As You Like to Hear Them here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is where we interview people from the news, prominent individuals in the news. In fact, the biggest people in the news for your further edification and education. And joining us on As You Like to Hear Them this evening, we have with us Helen Thomas and Sandra Bullock. Now, I know we're going to get you guys on together, but Helen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
I can't hear Helen.
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. And Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to talk to Helen first, Sandra.
All right.
And good evening, Helen. How are you?
I'm good.
But I do appreciate you being on, Ms. Bullock.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay, I wanted to take them one at a time, you know?
That's what she said. I'm joking.
All right, is that Helen?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me first, I'm going to take one at a time, you guys. That's what she said, yeah. Well, you're out of the business, you know.
Well, I'm out of the I retired.
You retired. But after a long time in the business, doesn't this feel a little bit like a Dan Rather moment?
No, it's not a Dan Rather moment, no. No.
It's not a Dan Rather. It's not like you're out going out on a negative?
No, it's not a Dan Rather moment. Let me explain something. The difference is, you know, Dan Rather went out having blown it, and he knew he blew it. He knew he blew it.
Don't you know you blew it?
I know that I blew it, opening my mouth the way I did. But I can now say, having retired, I don't regret what I said one bit.
So you don't regret it?
Well, I do, but I'm saying that I don't regret it. You understand? In other words, I want people to think that now that I've retired, I am free to speak my mind. So I'm going to say, yeah, Jews out of Palestine or whatever it was that I said.
Do you really feel that way?
Well, yeah, I do feel that way, but I would never say it. I'm saying it now, but I want you to know that I'd take it back in a minute if I could have kept my job and kept my status as a member of the press sitting up front. And I know, and I heard what you said, that what does it mean, and a lot of people are saying that.
Well, but what does it mean, sitting up front?
It means I'm sitting up front. That's what it means. And if you think that I'm passing out you-know-whats to get up front, you're wrong.
Well, I didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, I heard some intimation that I'm handing out, you know, sex favors to get up front. You know, and I know you don't believe it because of the kisser on me, but at one time maybe in my life it wasn't so frightening. But the fact is, I'm an old lady, all right?
No, I know that, Helen. I never saw, not saying that you're doing anything wrong. I'm just, why are you getting up front again?
What do you mean getting up front?
Why were you sitting up front?
Because of the fact that I had seniority, I was respected, I told people, look, I'm an old lady, and if I'm sitting in the back, people are going to think it's bad, and I'm not going to wind up like that Sarah McClendon or whatever her name was. I'm not winding up like her, no way.
Now, that was another elderly woman who was in the media. And
yeah, but she was in a back row. And she sounded like a female version of Foghorn Leghorn. Not me. No, sir. No. That wasn't going to happen to me. So I'm up front, and I'm asking my questions. Yeah, sure, I was rude. But what? You know, I got to make some kind of a splash. Because I'm too old to know what's going on. I can't read because I can't see anything. What do you want from me?
You know what? This is what I'm trying to determine. Did you mean what you said about the Jews getting out of Palestine?
Did I mean what I said?
Yes, did you mean it?
Yeah, I meant it, but I didn't think it'd get me fired. Had I known it was going to get me fired, No, I wouldn't have said it, and I wouldn't have meant it. Well, I mean, I wouldn't have said it.
But you still meant it.
Yeah, but I would have said, no, I love Jews. I would have said, I mean, I didn't want to get canned. I didn't want to say something bad. I didn't know that it would be misinterpreted. But by the same token, when you're 90 years of age, and you know, your most of your life is behind you, if not all of your life, but by 90, all of your life is behind you. You know, there's not a whole lot you're going to hold back on. So I...
Sandra, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You got an opinion on this?
Well, hold on. What are you asking her for? I do have an opinion. I do have an opinion. Well, what are you asking her for?
Because I'm just curious.
No, I got an opinion. That's pretty desperate. Oh, it's desperate, but lip-locking what's-her-face. No, the difference, and I'm glad she said that, Phil.
Go ahead.
I'm glad you said that, Helen, because the difference is when I planted it on Scarlett Johansson, I knew it was a theatrical moment. And did you know it was a hack moment? Say it again. Did you know it was a hack moment? What do you mean by hack? It was hack. It was like, you know, it had already been done by Madonna, and Phil even said Madonna and what's her name? Britney Spears? Yeah. Oh, so in other words, it wasn't original. It was hack, not original. You know, well, how original is it for you to say, get the Jews out of the Middle East? You know, the only thing you didn't say was push them into the Mediterranean. Oh, come on. You know, you're trying to make me out like Heinrich Himmler or something, or Saddam Hussein or whoever. All I said was something that's perfectly acceptable among the intelligentsia liberal elite in America, which is that Israel sucks. I thought I was on safe ground. Maybe I don't know what happened. What happened was that you sounded like an anti-Semite telling them to go back to Germany and get themselves sized for an oven. I never said anything of the sort.
Well, hold on for a minute. Let me jump in here.
No, you said, hold on, Phil. Didn't you say go back to Germany?
Yeah.
But you think that means get sized for an oven? Well, what do you think was happening to them in Germany? But Mr. Henry, as long as do you agree that what I said had been accepted by the liberals in America up to that point?
Accepted by liberals. I think what's accepted by so-called progressives is that Israel is a bad country that's just putting the poor Palestinian people through so much that is so terrible.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Because it's horse dung, because the people that are being put through the mill, the Palestinian people are being put to the mill by their own leadership. The Arab leaders of that region are the ones that are depriving their own people. All that bread, all that oil med, all that oil money, $500 million of them, come on.
Oh, get out of here. If the Jews hadn't been down there, are you an anti-Semite? Who's this, Bullock? No, it's Phil. No, okay.
Are you?
Am I a what?
Are you an anti-Semite?
I don't like Jews, if that's what you mean. Well, that's what it means, yeah. I don't like them, but the only reason I don't like them... No, I shouldn't have said that. I don't like them, but I'd never say that I don't like them, because that's not accepted. See, everything's blown out. Forget it. Yeah, well, what she's saying, Phil, and I agree with her...
Who's this, Sandra?
Yeah. Is that... What do you mean, who's this, Sandra?
I couldn't...
You can't tell the difference between a piece of...
All right, I can tell.
Piece of ass is what she's going to say.
All right, I can tell.
But if you think that being an anti-Semite is acceptable among the liberal... intelligentsia of America, the Hollywood and East Coast liberal elite, no, it is not. Hating Israel is accepted, but hating Jews is not. And you never got the difference, Helen. You never got the difference.
Well, now, look who's talking. Sandra Bullock.
Hey, you know, so, okay, thank you. You're educating me. You're telling me I was hanging out with the biggest stars in Hollywood when you were doing what? When you were being left behind at a grocery store, when your parents were trying to get rid of you, trying to leave you in a grocery store to be found by somebody, anybody, a serial murderer, and you just wouldn't leave them alone. I was hanging out with the biggest names in Hollywood when your parents were actively trying to abandon you in a supermarket. Let me tell you what you don't know, Helen, and I think this is important for everybody. When you get so old you can't remember where the liberal and the progressive establishment in this country stands on anything, when you get that old, it's time to hang it up.
Well, maybe it's time for you to hang it up.
Why is that?
Because you're a dyke. And boy, are you ever a bigot.
All right, let's do it. Why do you call her a dyke? Because of that kiss? Because
she's a diesel dyke, aren't you, man-eater?
Wow, look at you, huh?
Well, you're on there kissing on some woman. You pick some white trash to marry. How bright are you?
Okay, do we have to get personal?
Yeah, well, oh, no, not at all. She's calling me an anti-Semite. She's telling me that I'm some kind of... you know, I got a kisser to make a freight train take a dirt road. Okay, yeah, maybe I do. But the fact of the matter is, she's on stage, she's lip-locking Scarlett. Yeah, did you ask Johansson whether she minded or not? I don't think she's going to mind. Oh, you don't think she's going to mind, huh? Well, I'd mind. Hey, I'd mind, too. I'd mind if it was you. I'd mind if... I wouldn't care if you minded. Why? Because I wouldn't want to. Well, I don't understand.
All right, look. Now it's getting really personal. The question I think that is I think you got into an interesting line of questioning for Sandra, and that is your marriage to this guy, Jesse James, Sandra, and I think we have to ask about it. Why?
Because he was a bad boy, motorcycle. I'm Sandra Bullock. I'm squeaky clean. I've got the smile. Everybody thinks that I use Crest toothpaste and that I'm using Ice Blue Secret and that I, you know, when I walk, my ass squeaks, you know, the whole thing. And he's the bad boy, so he's a perfect counterpart.
Did you, but I mean,
I'll ask the questions here. Did you think of vetting this guy? What do you mean, vet? I mean, what about him? You marry the white trash, you have children with the white trash. Did you ever think for 1 minute this guy with all of that ink, all that ugly, and I don't know, has the guy got a jail term? Has he got a jacket? He's got a filing cabinet, an L.A. County sheriff? What's the guy's story? What are you talking about, cops? Yes! No, you never asked. So you marry this guy, and you thought you were going to cure him of what? I thought I'd cure him of his...
Of his wild ways.
Yes, of his wild ways.
That's the typical female thing.
Hey, Henry, just pull it. So you thought you'd...
Hey, look, Helen, you know, just because you're the dean of the White House D-words...
Oh, boy. Low blow.
Let me ask a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
All right, Sandra, so you marry this white trash. He's got the ink queen, the ink glamour puss. He's cheating on you. What have you learned?
That's a good question. What have I learned? Well, I've learned that you've got a man is more than just the image. A man is what is inside as well as outside. And
so when you say outside, though, what do you mean?
Well, I don't mean outside, but I mean the persona. Yeah, man is more than his persona. That's right, Helen. In fact, right about now, you're looking good.
What's that supposed to mean?
All right, get them both out of here, will you?
What happened?
I don't... Thank you very much. This has been As You Like to Hear Them here on the Phil Henry Show. They're just screwing around with me now.
Thanks, Phil.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman in this segment here, just ahead of, the end of our program for this Monday night. Thank God the summer is around the corner, though, man. I'll tell you what.
You say you went swimming today, huh?
I did go swimming and did a couple of laps, you know.
Yeah, at least your bathing suit didn't fall around your ankle, did it?
No, it didn't, no. But then I'm weird. I wear underwear with my, actually, I went in a pair of shorts, you know.
You didn't have a bathing suit on.
No, I didn't. I actually went to this. I went to this club that we belong to, and then I went to a private home and I was swimming. But it was nice to, like, I love to swim, and I used to swim, and I should swim more because it's like the full body workout, man. You know.
Well, you look like you're gonna have to do like a million laps. You know.
Yeah.
Oh well, thanks very much, man.
Well, you look sad.
A million laps, huh?
I think it'd take about a million laps, yeah.
It would, man.
How many laps will it take, Phil Henry? A million laps.
You say you get on a treadmill, too.
Yeah, I did the treadmill. It was like, which, by the way, you know, a workout room is not it's not a church. I understand that. It's not a church. There's weights and there are treadmills and there's stair steppers and there's bikes and there's this and there's that, right? And I never expected to be quiet, but what is it with some guys that go into these weight rooms and they're like, "Hey, Bill, you gotta get that? Yeah, okay, yeah." I mean, it was like that for like a half an hour. Listen to these guys. Anyway, that was a nice day, so yeah, I did the treadmill. What about it?
What did you do, like 40 minutes?
I did like 20.
Yeah, like I said, man, about a million laps.
All right, if it takes a million laps, it'll be a million laps. Anyway, a colorful mural painted by a local artist in Prescott, Arizona, was turned into a black and white controversy because of the skin color, one of the children's skin, in the mural. The artist, R.E. Wall, was told to lighten the skin color after complaints, but now he's being allowed to keep his original vision. He was told to lighten the skin color after the complaints. What complaints? The school originally asked the painter to lighten up the skin color, but abandoned that request after a firestorm of criticism. The school? What school? What school? Anyway, during a protest next to the school, Jesus. Anyway, there's a mural. Here's some jackass that's on the radio in Arizona.
I am not a racist individual, but I will tell you, depicting a black guy in the middle of that mural, based upon who's president of the United States today, and based upon the history of this community when I grew up, we had four black families who I have been very good friends with for years.
I don't believe you.
To depict the biggest picture on that building as a black person, I would have to ask the question why.
Well, it's all politically correct. As far as I'm concerned, it defaced a nice building.
It defaced a nice building, huh? Well, you know, we do have a black president, and what it's told me is that because he's a black president, that's all. That's pain in the ass enough, man. You got to remind us that we got a black president by sticking a big black face up in the middle of a mural there in Prescott, Arizona. Miller Valley Elementary School, I guess. That's the worst written news article, bud. You know.
Well, what do you want?
I want a news article that's going to tell me what's going on in it. The school. Look, the first freaking, in any event, while they were painting this mural, people are driving by in Prescott, Arizona, or wherever the hell this Miller Valley Elementary School is, yelling the S word, as in SP blank blank, and the N word. Can you imagine that? Kids painting a mural, and here are human beings driving by. Now, this guy, Steve Blair, let's listen to him. He sounds like a real scumbag. He's the city councilman there in Prescott. He got his ass fired. Let me explain something to the broadcasters that hired him in the first place. Just because the guy is a city councilman doesn't mean he knows anything about working a microphone or doing a radio show. Do you understand? Finally!
I am not a racist individual, but I will tell you, depicting a black guy...
No, I think you are a Jew-hating, black-hating, I think you are a Klan, pointy-hat-wearing, no-good, although you're a good bowler.
I am not a racist individual, but I will tell you, depicting a black guy in the middle of that mural...
Oh, man.
...based upon who's president... of the United States today, and based upon the history of this community when I grew up, we had four black families who I have been very good friends with for years.
I'd like to find all four of those black families and find out if they're still very good friends with this guy. That's number one. And number two, I'd like to find out why there were only four black families.
Bet you they ran him out of town on a rail.
What are you talking about?
Did probably like to keep it down.
Hey, man, I'll move out of that damn Prescott, Arizona.
Be careful that you burn across.
You think that's it?
Yeah, probably. Only four black families in the area? Sure, they probably burn a freaking cross in that town, man, every time anybody who's darker than me moves in. All right, let's listen to, you know, I'm sorry I keep cutting these comments off because this guy is brilliant. He's so marvelous.
I am not a racist individual, but I will tell you.
Just because you say you ain't. Oh, I'm sorry.
I am not a racist individual, but I will tell you, depicting a black guy in the middle of that mural, based upon who's president of the United States today, and based upon the history of this community when I grew up, we had four black families who I have been very good friends with for years.
Yes, sure.
To depict the biggest picture on that building as a black person, I would have to ask the question why.
Well, it's all politically correct. As far as I'm concerned, it defaced a nice building.
What's politically correct about it when they're yelling N-word and they got jackass here on the air talking about it, although he got fired. Although I don't know why you guys are firing him. He apparently is expressing the, you know, the belief system of the town of Prescott, Arizona. What the hell did you care? What station was he on? Where's he from? What town is this? What state is this? What country is this? What world is this? The hell, when do we grow the hell up about black-white? You know, let's get it together. Although I have to tell you, I think pretty much we are. In in the rare instance, some of these rubes come along, you know, some of these, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The world is too much of a challenging place to have to worry about this chicken crap. You know what I mean? The world is too tough. We're getting into a very challenging period in the history of mankind on this planet. We need every swing and you know what, regardless of what color. And this is America, and we've fought these racial wars longer than any other country. We've had our noses in the middle of this thing called race longer than any other country. It may be better in other countries only because they don't have the diversity of the racial makeup like we do. And I go back to the comment, and I like mentioning this comment by the Japanese prime minister back in the 70s when he said, well, of course we have better school grades because we're a monoracial society, meaning America didn't have the school grades that the Japanese had because we've got too many blacks and Chinese and whites and we're all mixed together, so we're dumber. That was the prevailing, that was the attitude and the belief of the Prime Minister of Japan. So I know that the rest of the world, if we got it bad here, the rest of the world's a toilet. But I don't care about the rest of the world. I care about us. And this podunk attitude, man, aren't you embarrassed? Little tiny stupid-ass town, man. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night. Don't forget the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. And, of course, our phone screening is ever done by the great Dan.
Chriscraft.
Dan Chriscraft. No, I'm sorry, Dan. Northcraft. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.